This presentation has been previously broadcast.
This is the Drew Mariani Show. Where else can you pray with thousands of other listeners every day? Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, where we're here for you on Relevant Radio.
Well, thank you for joining me. Thanks for praying with me. I am in the studio with my colleague Amy today. She joins us normally every... Today is Tuesday, isn't it? I swear, this month of March and February has been a blur to me. Last week seemed to drag on. I couldn't get out of it. You know, it's like, what day is it? And then this week is just a blur. How are you holding up? And thanks for being here.
I'm doing great. Thank you. We've got beautiful weather today, so...
I know. I mean, it's kind of a tease in some respects because more inclement weather will probably be in our future. Relevant Radio's headquarters right now is in a place called Green Bay, Wisconsin, if you're tuning into us. And I remember a couple years ago, if you're listening now in Texas or Los Angeles, Florida, somewhere warm and sunny, God bless you. April, my wife had to fly back to the East Coast to be with her family for some reason. And she's sitting outside with her sister, and they send me a pic. You know, it's a beautiful night. They're in T-shirts, you know, or whatever, or some light fare, wear. And we had a blizzard. It snowed for 3 days straight, practically. There was like 3 feet of snow. If I had a heart attack, I would have been dead because I couldn't have got out of my driveway. That's how bizarre it is. In April, the frozen tundra, you get snow. So we thank God for his mercy and for this beautiful weather we're having all around the country. Let's pray for our country today. I want to pray for the Uyghurs, too, those who... currently are undergoing terrible persecution and genocide. And for all those who are suffering persecution, we talk about Chaldean Catholics, we talk about those in Iraq and other places. We got to get out of our own head. And so often we're so selfish in our prayers. And I don't mean that in a bad way, because I'm just like you. I pray for the same things. We all have the same needs and intentions at once, and we focus on our little universe. But, you know, so often I try to open my scope and just say, you know what? I need to pray for our leaders, for our nation. I need to pray for those of less than me. You know, we need to, because I think when we do that, God always gives back to us. That's just me personally. I think prayer is strange. It's in the spiritual dynamic. When you pray for others, it's like investing in your own account. You know, and we could easily ask God for all the things. He knows what we need. But so often when we're charitable with our prayer, I think God finds great pleasure in that. That's just me personally. And so I want to pray for you today. That's why I pray for you all the time. You are in every prayer of mine every day. I said multiple chaplets some days, you know, because I believe in the power of this prayer, and your intentions are always there with me. Amy, anything in particular you want to lift up or pray for?
Just for my family and for all the listeners.
All right, we'll pray for those. And you were here last week. We had all those Thanksgiving prayers, right? I always think of you when you sit in here, because Amy hears it. You ought to just pray in Thanksgiving. I'm like, that's good too. I like that.
Yeah, I love Thanksgiving.
Oh, you're good. All right, well, let's pray. We'll take your calls. If you're on hold, I promise I'll do my best to get you on. And we'll begin now. We'll turn to our merciful Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I also want to pray for my son today. He's broke as a joke, you know, that's how those kids are. And his engine just failed in his car. So I'm like, oh, great. That's going to fall back on me, I bet. So I just want to I want to pray for God's providence and for blessings on this child of mine in particular. We'll take our first call today, too. We'll go to Corey listening to us in the Twin Cities. Corey, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much. And I'm calling today for Cora, who's an 8-year-old girl whose appendix ruptured.
Oh, no.
Today at 2 o'clock, she was waiting for surgery, and I'm just so afraid for her and her family. So praying for a miracle that she's okay and has a good recovery. She's my son's best friend.
You know, you got it. I'm glad you got through. I am. And it's a grace that you're here today. And they got it early that she's going to be fine. But that I know ruptured appendix could be life-threatening. Let's pray right now, Corey. I want to pray for you, too, for your needs, okay? Whatever they might be, I know you probably have a heart full of them. But I do pray for this little 8-year-old girl whose appendix ruptured. I pray for all those who are in critical situations right now, both with their health, in the ICUs, on the operating tables. Right now, those who are the victims of tragedy and accident. And I pray for their loved ones in particular, who really are suffering concerned for those they care about. So, Heavenly Father, I know you are love and mercy itself. And I just ask right now that you embrace these souls in these troubled moments. Let your presence be felt as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us. And on the whole world.
All right. Eileen is listening in Georgetown, Kentucky. Hi, Eileen. Good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. I wanted to thank you for your ministry.
Thank you.
I'm calling for prayers for my brother, Pat. He had emergency surgery, brain surgery, on Sunday. And I'm asking for a miracle for complete healing.
All right. Well, let's pray for that. Whenever, you know, you deal with the brain, that's tremendously concerning.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's do that. You know, let's pray for him, Eileen, and your good sister will pray for you. And just lean on the Lord. You know, that's the Faustina said in her diary. She's the Lord told her, I'm always supporting you. So lean on me. Lean on me as you struggle and fear nothing. So, Lord, I give you those in times of trepidation, trial, difficulty, those who face what can be very life-altering situations. And I pray in particular for those with brain issues, brain trauma, those with aneurysms, those with tumors. Lord, I give you those who are seeking recovery from surgery. And I just give you this intention. And I unite this prayer to all who now are crying out to you. I know you hear us. So I thank you as we pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Kathy's listening in Wisconsin. Thanks for praying with us, Kathy. Good afternoon.
Hi. I'd like you to pray for my husband who, he's undergoing tests to rule out ALS. So we're praying that it's not ALS, but it's something else having to do with his spinal stenosis.
Okay. Well, let's put him in the hands of the Lord, Kathy. Thank you. And ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, is a serious, serious threat. So we'll pray against that. Hey, was there something else you wanted to add? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on you.
Oh, no. That's all I need. just right. prayers for his healing.
All right. Let's pray for you, too. I know how anxious one can get when their loved one is ill. And I just want to ask that God will give you the fortitude and the strength and the wisdom that you need in dealing with this. But, Lord, I give you your husband. I pray for his spine. I pray for that spinal stenosis. We pray against Lou Gehrig's disease and ALS. We pray for anyone having nerve issues right now. And I give you this particular situation. But I do expand it to all right now who are having problems with their back, Lord. All those who are dealing with life-altering and life-debilitating diseases. And every intention so far has been for the body. So again, I ask for your divine healing in this hour, whether it's migraines or arthritis, whether it's osteoporosis, whether, you know, it's tumors and cancer. In fact, I would like to add my wife's cousin Beth, who is approaching her final hours right now, to this intention as well as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Elena is listening in Chicago. Elena, welcome.
Hi, Drew. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Drew, I have a prayer intention for my sister. She lives on the West Coast. She's on her deathbed. Doctors don't think she's going to make it past tonight. She's early 50s, and she's suffered a lot since a young girl. Her parents abandoned her, and she was raped as a little girl by two different people that I know of, and she entered into drugs and alcoholism. And
I understand why.
She's lived a very rough life.
That's so sad. That really is. Well, Elena, I'm glad you got through. We're going to pray for her. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Thank you. No. Just want to pray that the Lord softens her heart so that she can forgive all the people that have failed her.
Look, the Lord is so merciful. And I know in this hour, look, you can understand the path that she took after being abused and violated the way she has. And let's pray for her. God's merciful. He's going to embrace her, you know, and she's going to be free from the wounds of this world. And she'll be with our Lord, so. Let's lift her up. Let's pray for her right now. Lord, I give to you those who've suffered sexual abuse. Pray for those who suffer any form of abuse. And as hard as it is, I pray for those abusers. And I know you love them too, and I pray for their conversion. I pray for justice as well as mercy. I pray for those who've been abandoned. And I pray for those like Elena now who is approaching the threshold of new life. And I stand on the promise you've given us through this chaplet that you will come not as a just judge, but as a merciful Savior for those souls that we pray for, that this prayer, it will give those souls grace so they can embrace your infinite mercy, that their hour of death will be a peaceful one. So, Lord, hear these prayers. Embrace this soul. I give you Beth, and I give you all those who are now approaching new life. And I pray for the hour of my own death and all those united with me as well. Hear these prayers as we pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Lexington, Kentucky. Barbara, thank you for joining us for prayer. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call, Drew. And I thank everybody there at Relevant Radio. And I'm so grateful. I would like prayers for, I have a difficult decision to make, and I ask for prayers for that. And also for a friend who died suddenly. His name is Bob. I would ask for prayers for the repose of his soul. Okay. And also for my sons to come back to the church.
Good prayer. All right, let's pray. We'll pray for all those intentions. So I give you first and foremost her final intention, the prayer of conversion. I know you hear this prayer. I know it's always answered. I know you give those graces that souls need. So we pray for her children. We pray for all our children. We pray for our siblings and our spouses and those that we love and those most in need of your mercy. Allow this prayer to really have effect today, Lord. Let it begin changes in many souls. That's what I ask. But I pray for this difficult decision that Barbara has, and I ask that you give her both peace and joy, that she'll know with clarity what the right path to take is, what the right choice is. Make that vividly clear to her, and I ask that today. And, of course, we pray for all those who've died, those who've gone before us, those souls in purgatory. I want to pray for that mother contemplating abortion in this moment, that person considering taking their own life. And I want to pray for those most in need of your mercy. And Jake, do I have time for one more call? Let's sneak one more in here if I can. Paul in Milwaukee. Paul, good afternoon. You can join us in this last decade. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. So doctors can restore my eyesight, please. Thank you.
Yeah, I love this man because he's called before. Very simple prayer. He's very direct. His diminishing eyesight, and he's praying for God to heal it. Paul, your persistence, I believe, will be honored. I do. You constantly are asking the Lord, pray with great faith, okay? Pray with great hope. Rely on the Lord. The Lord told Faustina that the flames of mercy are burning me. They're clamoring to be spent. He says, I want to pour them on souls. Souls just don't want to believe in my goodness. You know, I often talk about how we don't often ask big enough of God. So, Lord, I pray for those with visual impairments, those with hearing loss, those with sickness. I want to pray for those who are suffering financially, those who are underemployed and unemployed. Lord, I want to pray for those with legal issues. I want to pray for those with marital issues. And I want to give you the needs, wants, and desires of all your children here. And I thank you for hearing these prayers as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine,
pray for us.
Virgin, most powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for
us. Saint Faustina,
pray for
us. Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
All you holy souls in purgatory,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hey, I want to send you I want to share with you one final prayer. You know, yesterday I shared with you the prayer of surrender that Faustina had. This is a powerful prayer. If you're going through spiritual warfare, I want to pray this for you right now. If you're going through a difficult time and there might be dark spirits of addiction, there might be division in the family, there might be other problems that seem to be haunting, let me pray this for you right now. I came across this prayer. It came from an exorcist. I prayed it earlier today. I'm going to be praying this personally. I think it's powerful. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. In his name and by the power of his cross and blood, I ask Jesus to bind any evil spirit, forces, powers of the earth, air, fire, or water, of the netherworld and the satanic forces of nature. By the power of the Holy Spirit and by his authority, I ask Jesus to break any curses, hexes, and spells, and send them back to where they came from, if it be his holy will. I beseech you, Lord, to protect us by pouring your precious blood on our families, on these intentions, on all who are now praying with me, which you have shed for us. And I ask you to command that the departing spirits leave quietly without disturbance, and they go straight to your cross to dispose of as you see fit. I ask you to bind any demonic interaction, any interplay, or any communication. And I place, and you can place whatever your intention is right now. Just give the Lord your intentions. Cry out to him with whatever this need is. We're going to place it under the protection of his precious blood. I place these intentions under the protection of the blood of Jesus Christ, for which he shed for us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love that prayer. I thought that was incredibly powerful. And I'd encourage you to pray it. I'll tell you what, I don't know if I can put it up today. I'll try to get up maybe tomorrow for you or another time. We'll put it on our Facebook and our Twitter page. I know many people are going to want it. I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, Dr. Sean O'Mara is going to join me. Now, I got an email from a listener saying, hey, can you talk about alternative approaches to infectious disease? I thought, well, let's just talk about alternative medicine in general, everything from acupuncture and pressure to the type of vitamins and medicines and herbs and treatments we can use for better health. Dr. Sean O'Mara is a gifted physician. We'll dive into that more right after this.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
I think it was St. Paul who set the record for the longest homily ever. It might have been 10 hours.
Where sin abounds, grace abounds more.
Hi, this is Father Rocky with our 18th Lenten lesson on the Mass. That's right, the homily lasted all night long, and it took place in Troas. And a young man named Eutychius fell asleep during the homily, tumbled out of a third-story window where he was sitting on the windowsill, and died. St. Paul resuscitated him, and then continued the rest of his homily until dawn. True story. You can read it for yourself in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. These days, Pope Francis encourages us to speak concisely, say much in few words. Homilies should be related to the readings of the Mass and be clear, concise, convincing, and inspiring. But more important than the preparation of the homily is the preparation of the homilist. So please don't forget to pray for your priests.
One of the three pillars of Lent is prayer. So make this your best Lent yet by joining Father Rocky for the Family Rosary Across America every evening at 7 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The dietary supplement market has been flooded with new products with an unprecedented demand in immune health. An Ipsos CRN survey recently found a vitamin D usage jumped 37% and zinc grew 17% amid the pandemic. Best-selling author and board-certified internist Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum says these two nutrients are key in the battle against COVID.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
This area, zinc and vitamin D, is more important than any drug out there for COVID-19. And people are not going to hear about it from the doctors most of the time because the drug companies basically are not talking to the doctors about it. But you can save 2/3 of the deaths that are happening with COVID, just with what we're going to talk about today.
All right. Hey, in just a second, Dr. Sean O'Mara will be stopping by. He's in an area where COVID is still pretty hot. I received an email from a listener. Let me just share it with you real quick. I'll pull it up here in front of me. I should have had it open for you, but somebody wrote they heard our discussion with Dr. Barbara Golder not too long ago on the vaccine and COVID. I think it was yesterday. And they wrote to me, and they said this to me. They said, hey, could you please have a guest on? He said, I turn into your show daily since Relevant Radio merged with Immaculate. I enjoy your guest and Robert Tobali, blah, blah, blah. Can we go through this? I respect the education and understanding of the practice of these physicians, but I find myself in utter disagreement with some of their approaches. Most disease can be prevented, or the effects can be limited by staying away from pharmaceuticals or vaccines and by incorporating proper foods, nutrients, exercise, and chiropractic care. Now, I recall you had a holistic expert on your show in the past, and I appreciated that. And the person suggests somebody to talk about. So I'm going to reach out and maybe do a little bit more of this in the days ahead and take a look at holistic medicine, whether or not it is a solution to some of the problems that we are currently facing. So I reached out to a physician that I know, Dr. Sean O'Mara, and he is a brilliant man, a former prosecutor, an Army physician. He has had very high-profile patients, worked on teams dealing with, you know, I believe the president, and he's now has a great company. You can track him down and get plugged into him. It's called MedConWellness.com, MedConWellness.com. And he found out that to prevent disease, and that's why I thought he'd be a good go-to doc. He understands alternative medicine, but he's also, you know, a physician trained in traditional Western medicine, I should say. And he found that preventing disease is really, it's more cost-effective. It's actually better for people than treating it. And he's developing ways to use biomarkers, including your microbiome, to see that what you eat helps improve your health. So, you know, we'll tap into him. He's down south right now. We'll get him online with us. And if you want to join us too, I want to give you the telephone number. If you are, you know, if you had bad experiences with alternative medicine, or if you love it, if you got a question regarding this area, feel free to join us. But it's an area I think that we should look at. Years ago, before I was, well, while I was doing documentary work, I had done some industrial type of work too for certain clients, and I did a project for a group of doctors, and one doctor was a physician trained in Eastern medicine, but he was also a physician who worked at a very prominent child's hospital on the East Coast, and this man cured people that Western doctors could not. And it was absolutely amazing. He didn't dispute, he was trained in Western medicine, used it. There are many great approaches, but he also incorporated into his practice some of these natural methodologies that worked wonders. And I often thought to myself, if I ever get ill or there's a problem that I can't put my finger on, this guy's a guy I want to talk to. And, yeah, we might see more sickness coming up. You know, right now the pandemic seems to be slowing down, right? A number of states have announced today they're lifting their mandates, including some listing their mask mandates, although, you know, a lot of large retailers are keeping that mandate in place. And new cases have fallen 77%. So we'll find out from Dr. O'Mara, are we out of the woods, you know? 77%. Hospitalization numbers are also falling. So that's good news. We should celebrate that, right? Are we... Now, is there light at the end of the tunnel? We're going to be out of this darkness. We're going to be out of this hole. Here's a question. You know, are there alternative approaches to dealing with the virus than just masks and vaccines? When it first arrived, doctors really didn't know what to do with it, which was perfectly understandable since no one had ever seen this before. It was a novel coronavirus. But when the medical authorities finally were able to access what was happening, was there a different way to have approached it? That's actually a question that's asked in any pandemic, not just with the coronavirus. Are there alternatives to alternative approaches that have, you know, limited or no side effects? Are there ways that we can give our bodies more protection against these kind of bugs that we are fighting against and defeat them? And the reason I say that is I know, and I've been doing this now too, that there are a lot of people who are consistently taking supplements of vitamin C, D, and zinc, and magnesium, right, and other vitamins. I take a ton of them now, you know, and I, thank God, have been protected so far. I'm not saying that that's the reason I was protected, but I do think they help in the battle or maybe the mitigation of the ailments. But are there other things we can do? I'm joined right now by Dr. Sean O'Mara, delighted to talk with him, and if you've got a question, you want to join us, feel free to dial in. Dr. O'Mara, thank you for making time for the show. It's always good to have you here.
Yeah, Drew, really enjoy coming back on your show, and this is a great topic. So looking forward to this discussion.
So before we talk about these other approaches, you are on our southern border. Is that where you are right now?
Yeah, so I'm down in the Rio Grande Valley. I pretty routinely come down here. I'm fascinated by the critical care that's required of patients that are dying from COVID. So I come and work in ICUs in the capital of obesity for our country. It happens to have the dubious distinction down here of being have the highest rate of obesity.
Wow.
And associated with that is the worst outcome in COVID. So no surprise that we see ICUs filled down here during COVID with patients that are struggling to live. And we'd see probably about a third of them, and two-thirds of them, will go on to die. So it's a really sad situation. But to the listening audience out there, the thing I would tell you is that you don't want to put your faith in masks and policies like that. You really want to get to be as healthy as you possibly can and strengthen your immunity. And if you're not healthy and you're overweight and obese and you have, chronic disease, you should probably stay in your home and not go out and not have visitors, because you run the risk of losing your life if you get COVID. And for the majority of people that are healthy and don't have obesity as a problem and comorbidities, you could probably go out and get through COVID just fine. But you do run the risk of your life if you have an obese and have a lot of medical conditions that put you at risk for a bad outcome. And I think we need to have public service announcements about that. And I talk about it routinely in the ICU. Family members who are coming to visit their loved ones that are dying, I say, we don't warn you about this. But so here I am on the radio warning the audience that it's real and COVID can kill you. The majority of people do just fine getting through it. But for those that are impaired, metabolically dysfunctional, you really need to take this serious.
So there's so much to take in. Of course, I'd always say consult your physician, make sure, stop taking your medicines. We give all those disclaimers. Should regular medicine be looking, more at alternative approaches to health rather than just relying solely on pharmaceuticals? Look, there's better living through pharmaceuticals. I don't want to diminish them at all. I mean, you see the blessings they've been. You're a physician. You prescribe them. But I think almost to the detriment of alternative methods, there may be other things that we can do that avoid us from getting on pharmaceuticals or might be able to provide the same remedy. But I'd love your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so I completely agree. So, I am an allopathic Western medicine trained MD physician. And I grew up in my training through a residency program learning about allopathic medicines, and I still use them. But you at this point would have a very difficult time convincing me that we shouldn't be doing exactly that. That we need to emphasize a lot more the prevention of medicine through natural, healthy lifestyles. And we understand these mechanisms of medications and the sophisticated equipment. But what physicians don't understand still is, what does a healthy life look like? Mm-hmm. What do you have to do to be healthy? And, it's really, I think, critically important that physicians learn what that is and communicate, secondly, to their patients so that patients well understand the kind of lives that they should be living. And it goes well beyond just exercise and eating. There's so many more aspects to a well-lived, healthy life that when you combine them together, it's called stacking, that it has this tremendous synergistic benefit that comes together in an extraordinarily healthy person. And those people, can get through COVID, they can get through, they prevent getting themselves from having a heart attack and a stroke and cancer. And to the extent that you live a healthy life, disease is less apparent and less present in your life. And to the extent that you live poorly and do the wrong things, then you get increasing amounts of disease. So we're meant to live long, healthy lives well up to 100 or even older than 100 if we make good choices. And the problem is people don't know what those good choices are.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's grab a call or two for you. If you want to join us, we only have a few minutes with the doctor today. We'd love to hear from you. Sally, or Sandy, is listening in Boston. Hey, Sandy, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
You know, I wanted to just mention that I've known several people that were diagnosed with COVID, and one was an 82-year-old woman, a friend of mine's mother, and some other people that were younger, but they never had to go to the hospital. All they did was they had a naturopathic doctor go to their house actually and give them IV vitamin C. They were able to give them the hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and she told me that she just took a big bunch of supplements. So one was Orega Resp. It's like a natural antibiotic. Mm-hmm. You know, oregano kills viruses. Vitamin D, K2. She said to help the D absorb. I can never pronounce it right. Q-certain, something to that effect. Something like that, yeah. What else? Zinc, okay. D, what else?
Right.
Just a bunch of these things. And she was totally fine after a few days. And she was 82, you know. And I think, you know, part of the problem is that, and it's a shame, no fault to medical doctors, but they're not taught gut health in medical schools, no fault of their own. It's just a shame. And, you know, shame on whoever is above these colleges, big pharma, whoever it is, but they're not allowing them to learn gut health, and gut health is a good part of our immune system, you know, and it's a shame. You
Christina,
know,
thank you. Let me hold you on that point. I've got a couple of minutes before I have to take a break, and I want the doctor to pick up on that, because you and I have talked about our butt biome, our microbiome, I should say, many times in the past. You heard Christina's comments. I want you to respond to her. We may have to take a short pause, but we can pick it up on the other side, too.
Absolutely.
So go right ahead, doctor.
So with regard to, you know, disease beginning in the gut, it's really the case. You know, Hippocrates, who's the father of medicine, said that disease begins in the gut. And if we could just get people healthy, eating a healthy diet, including, I think today, supplementation, because our food supply has been compromised. And so supplements are very interesting. We're learning a lot about them. We need to do more studies. So a lot of those supplements that Christina talked about have anecdotally worked well for some people, and quite a few, actually a lot of people, but they may not work for everybody. So I'm not discouraging them, but you want to do far more than there's this tendency to just take a bunch of supplements. You want to walk. You want to stand more. You want to get sunshine. You want to avoid processed foods. You want to decrease your stress. You want to get sleep, you know, you want to exercise in an intense manner. These are the things, these lifestyles probably in the whole have far more benefit to you than taking pills or just supplements. But I do take supplements, and I'm looking forward to them being aggressively studied. And I think they will have a significant role to play. It's just at this point, we don't know enough about them. And I'm concerned that people, you know, similar to just taking pills, we'll just take supplements instead of stop eating bad food and stop living poor, unhealthy lives. Most people know that they're doing some things improper, and that's what I really like to talk to people about and challenge them about, the lifestyles that they're living. So I think that's a great question Christina had.
That's great. And, Doctor, I had to take a short pause. When we come back, we'll pick it up. We'll take a few more calls. My guest, Dr. Sean O'Mara, taking a look at alternative medicine and dealing with everything from infectious disease to COVID and so much more. Stay with me.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Connected.
Connected.
Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Your life, your health, connected. It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. Didn't take too long, did it, for people to figure out the vitamin C, D, and zinc, along with, in some cases, hydroxychloroquine, could deal with a lot of the cases of COVID in its early stages. A lot of people are deficient in some key vitamins and minerals. And I don't know whether you take them or not, whether you eat enough leafy greens or you get the right foods. There's a lot to talk about. How is your diet and how does it interact with public health? One of the things we're looking at today with Dr. Sean O'Mara. And doctor, let's go. We'll grab a couple more calls for you. And let's say hello to Buster, who's listening. Well, here, Christina's up first. They're telling me. Christina in Chicago. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, go right ahead, Christina. Thanks for calling.
Yes. Oh, okay. I want to know, would that type of medicine help me? Because I'm highly allergic to a lot of medications that they give me that break out in hives. But I'm starting now to swell up from my tongue and my eyes. And yeah. I have rosacea real bad. I can't eat a lot of spicy food or anything like that.
Right.
The last one they gave me was for high blood pressure.
Right.
And they put me in the hospital with symptoms of a stroke and a heart attack.
Yeah. Well,
so I want to know if the alternative medicine would help me change the way I am. I had taken, the doctor gave me antibiotics for rosacea for about 15 years.
All right, Christina, let's do this. Let me let the doctor respond.
Yeah.
But, doctor, before you do, let me just put out a disclaimer here because, again, and you're the physician. You really should talk before you do anything regarding your medications to your physician about that. And I bet some people will run into opposition. They say, hey, I want to try this or do that. But to her point, and I know it's hard to maybe give advice in a situation like this when you're not seeing her full medical report, but I'll let you respond to people who find themselves in these complicated issues or situations.
Yeah, sure. So I agree completely. So Christina, she'd go back to our doctor. And the other thing she could consider doing is looking for a holistic health physician, or what is also called an integrative medicine physician. So somebody who integrates allopathic Western medicine with holistic health together. And they oftentimes have very good informed approach. Their experience in managing patients that have complicated medical conditions and transitioning them off their need for pharmaceutical drugs and helping them to change their lifestyle so that they can look for natural alternatives, which is the subject of what we're talking about here. And it's fantastically important. So one concept is instead of taking maybe a pharmaceutical grade vitamin D, just going outside and getting sunshine, which creates natural vitamin D in your body just from sunshine hitting your skin. So, the natural approaches to things have significant advantages because they don't have a lot of the side effects that pharmaceutical drugs do, like allergic reactions, swelling up, edema, rashes, and things that we're seeing increasingly in people. As chronic disease increases, a lot of these side effects are increasing. So go, Christina, back to find an integrative physician, integrative medicine physician that you can work with. And I think you and anybody else in the audience will benefit a lot from that.
All right, that's well said. Susan is listening in New London, Wisconsin. Hi, Susan.
Hi. Hey, I found actual health care that works online a few years ago because I needed to lose 32 pounds.
Yeah.
And I found the good foods. I'm getting better at it. And I've kept the weight off thus far. And I've been taking about 6,000 milligrams of vitamin C for quite a few years now with D3 and K2. So the D3 works in the winter because I spend my summers outside in the sun. Obtaining it, but other than the zinc and the D3, are there other things? Standard American diet is not real healthy.
Yeah,
That should be supplemented.
Yes.
Do we not know all that yet?
That's a great call. Thank you, Susan.
We're still learning about different supplements, but I think really popular right now is the vitamin D and understanding vitamin K's integration and association and need to take together. So a lot of these vitamin studies just look at, the addition of one particular vitamin, but, they work together. It's similar to how, math works with English, with science, with physics, to make you better educated. If you really want to study the effect of a vitamin, you have to look at it in the context of it being integrated with other vitamins. And that is what we're just really starting to learn about. How do, natural supplements work in our life and our lifestyle and other practices? So it's really critical that we continue to look at these and ask the right questions, like what supplements would be helpful. And it's a whole very exciting new field, and I it's my passion. I just love this particular exciting field to help people look for natural strategies to improve their health and maybe get them off of having to be so dependent on pharmaceutical grade medications. So great call and a great area of science that we got to look into.
That sounds great. Let's go to Michelle's listening in Chicago. Michelle, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. I was wondering what the doctor's opinion was about the use of homeopathic medicines, but also specifically about Catholics using homeopathic medicines, because I've heard different things and wanted to know what is allowable or not.
Yeah, so very interesting field. So I think homeopathy, you know, homeopathic medicine is very interesting. And I think there's a lot to be learned, you know, from that particular medical practice. So I gotta confess that I don't know much about the theological implications as a practicing Catholic physician.
Doctor, define homeopathy for everyone who doesn't know what it is.
Yeah, so typically homeopathic medicines, you know, work with tinctures. So they work with smaller amounts of exposing people to things that stress the body. So, for instance, if the body is suffering from a particular chronic disease, they look for things to add to that just a little bit. And what it does is invites the body, it stimulates the body to have the necessary biological response to help overcome that. So it's a little bit of the hair that bit you, that kind
right.
of a
gotcha.
of a mentality. And, you know, it has good results in some people, better results in others. And I think it has to do with how healthy you are. The healthier you are, the better you can get a homeopathic response and the better your response to vitamin supplementation as well. So right. if you are very unhealthy and you take a supplement, it may not work as well as if you're more healthy.
Right. Hey, thank you very much, Michelle. When it comes to the church's teaching on that, doctor, you know, there are all sorts of different alternative type of treatments. And people have got to be careful when it begins, I believe, to dabble in things like Reiki, where you have channeling and that type of healing. You know, some people have a controversy over yoga, too, with certain aspects of that. But fundamentally, you know, I don't have an issue. Do you with acupuncture or acupressure? Or using alternative medicines? I don't see anything contrary to faith or morals in that. So, you know, that's my particular take on this as well, but I can always follow up on that. Thank you for your call. It was good to have you here. I only have a minute left or two, so let me sneak Buster in because I promised I'd get him. He's in Washington, D.C. listening. Hi, Buster.
Hey, Drew. Hey, Doc. So I'm wondering what your opinion is on barbell training, so strength training versus sort of more high endurance training like cardio training or longer rep, you know, higher reps, lower weight, stuff like that.
Great question, Buster. So as we look at more science, looking at how long do you have to exercise and for what kind of duration, it appears to be your most significant benefit comes from shorter, much more intense exercise. So kind of examples would be sprinting. Believe it or not, sprinting has, in many studies, far better results than going out and jogging for 1 hour. So now I have my patients that I work with simply go out and sprint. And on my Instagram account, I'm wearing my doctor scrubs. I leave the ICU. Go out in front of my building and I sprint.
Wow.
So high intensity barbells, high intensity sprinting, much better than aerobic kind of long distance, high endurance kind of activity. So yeah, shorter and more intense seems to give you better results, significantly better results than the longer, lower intensity. Great question, Buster.
That is. And doctor, I don't have time to take another call. Let me just give you the floor. Some final thoughts as we get close to wrapping this up.
Yeah, so one of the things that gets people afflicted with disease is having too much stress in their life and not sleeping well. So those are two areas that you can diminish your immunity. So They point out the need to make sure that you analyze your life and figure things out, and that's what a good integrative physician will do. Look for points of vulnerability and what you need to do to reverse disease. So get with a good integrative physician, and I think that will help the radio audience out a lot.
Doctor, thank you. Always a delight to have you here. Stay safe down there, okay? And we look forward to the next time you and I get to talk.
All right, great, Drew. You too. God bless.
That's Dr. Sean O'Mara. Be sure and check him out if you want to learn more about him. MedConWellness.com.